This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears fans, it's time for On the Clock with the Score Zone Mark Grody, covering the latest on the upcoming draft for the Bears, featuring experts and analysis on this future-defining draft for Ryan Poles and new head coach Ben Johnson, right here on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Here's Mark Grody.
It ought to be a good one. Tonight, we are going to talk about a certain prospect that gets everybody going when you mention his name, and that name is Ashton Gentry. No, we will not speak directly to Ashton Gentry, but we will speak to the person who was the broadcaster, the play-by-play man for all of Ashton Gentry's games at Boise State. He is Bob Beeler. Bob Beeler will join us in a little bit to talk about Boise State and some of the other prospects behind Gentry, but we'll try to find out what the magic is about Ashton Gentry and why we are seeing people place and associate the Bears with Gentry at the number 10 overall pick. We will ask him in about 20 minutes if he's worth it. And I'm going to have to be tough on him because, I mean, I understand, like, when you're doing play-by-play for a team, you are in full support of your players. I'd understand being in full support of this particular player, but we're going to have to do a little bit of discerning to find out about Ashton Gentry and if he would be worth the Bears' while if he was to be drafted at number 10. I got to admit, I am not there yet. I'm not there with the Bears drafting a running back at number 10, but I think I'm still at the same place. I would say no to Gentry, but if they were to do it, I would not be pounding my fist here in the Score studios. I'd be like, okay, I'll find a way to like it. That's the phraseology. I'll find a way to like it. And that's a very unique evaluation for a player because typically I either want the player or don't want the player. In this case, you can sell me on that player, considering some of the special that he has done in his college life, and specifically at Boise State. So we will talk to Bob Beeler in about 20 minutes from right now. I am Mark Grody. I am really happy to be here on the clock for the next hour or so. I got the text lines open here, 312-644-6767. So if you want to throw one in, maybe we'll have some time to get to some texts as well. Before we start to get into some mock drafts and some ideas for the Bears in this April draft, I do want to talk a little bit more about Tevin Jenkins. If you did not hear Tevin, I was just talking with the afternoon show a little while ago, Spiegel and Holmes, about Tevin Jenkins, who does land with the Cleveland Browns. I don't have any contract details in front of me right here. He was of course, with the Bears, a 2021 second-round pick, if you needed that refresher. I'm thinking about Tevin Jenkins' career. And from a Bears perspective, I would say, and from a Tevin Jenkins perspective, but I really think about this one from a Bears perspective, it was a success story. Because while it was painful that when Tevin Jenkins came to the Bears in 2021, he was injured, and then the next year, it's Braxton Jones who takes over the spot, and it just felt weird to be kicking Tevin Jenkins inside. Why doesn't Ryan Poles like him on the outside? Well, guess what? As painful as that metamorphosis was, Tevin Jenkins became a good guard to the point where when I would speak to him with other reporters out there at Halas Hall, I always felt like the conclusion was in his second year of playing guard that I got no issues with this. Like, you know, paraphrasing Tevin, he was good with it. He got comfortable playing guard and having fist fights on the inside. I mean, that his mentality is made for the inside. So, I mean, I give Poles some credit, like, as ugly as that was, because he was supposed to be the left tackle, and he was supposed to, he made Charles Leno a seventh-round pick at in his career, expendable. So it felt like that was going to be the obvious thing, and then it got ugly. It just felt like, for a minute, where Tevin wanted to be traded because he thought he was the left tackle, and how are you going to use me, and are you guys ever going to pay, like, all of that. And guess what? Both, and I say a success story for Tevin as well, because it seemed to work out for both sides. I don't know. Like, in Tevin's heart of hearts, would he still rather be a left tackle? I don't know. He's never said it publicly or privately. I mean, he's always said he has gotten comfortable at the guard spot. But let's see how Cleveland uses him this year. And then I said this to the guys earlier, too, that although maybe some of the Tevin Jenkins missing game stuff is a little bit overrated at times, because he did, like, for instance, this past year, he did start 14 games. But what happened a lot with Tevin is leaving the game for a quarter, for a half, for a series. Like, a lot of that added up. And guess what? It just became time for the Bears to get different people in there. And this is good for Tevin, too. Not that he needs, like, this is not a player who hit rock bottom. He doesn't need, like, the proverbial fresh start, but it's a new life for him as well. And the Bears had to do things differently. That's why they went out and, you know, made moves to get Drew Dahlman, Joe Tooney, and Jonah Jackson. And, you know, Jonah Jackson has had his injury issues, but it's a different player. They have to, sometimes you got to do it differently. So hopefully this is amicable. Hoping to hopefully get Tevin Jenkins on at some point on the Score to talk about it. We'll see. Maybe in this hour, we'll see. I'll be honest with you. I feel like it's doubtful at this point. So I'm just being real with you. I'm actually here, though, on the Score until 8:45 tonight. So, hey, it's not, I'll take Tevin's call all the way up until 8:45.
Well, do you think we could sell him if we tell him there's baked potatoes here?
Oh, man. We'll see. It'll be a fun ride for all of us on this Mark Grody train tonight. I'm on the clock Grody right now. You'll get a completely different Grody coming up at 7 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
Which is when, by the way, if I may mix shows.
Go right ahead.
We were going to have on.
They're both yours.
No, and this is good, though. I'm promoting a Bears thing. At 7 o'clock tonight, we are going to have Mark Potash on of the Chicago Sun-Times, who recently accepted a buyout from the Sun-Times, but he ain't quitting. So we'll talk to him about that. We'll get personal with Potsy, and then guess what? We'll talk about the Bears. Imagine Potsy, who's never been afraid of anybody to speak the truth, whether no matter who he's in front of, where he is. Man, Potsy, let's see what Potsy's like now that he's not on a payroll at the moment.
I know, man. We've had overnight Potsy. We've had, you know, 6 to 9 Potsy.
Maybe like really nice Potsy now. He's like, I don't care anymore. They're good guys. You know, all that stuff with the questions I asked, that was all just theater. You know, I talk to Poles on the phone all the time.
Like, I don't care about the defensive intensity or anything like that.
Oh, you guys all fell for that. The joke's on you. We'll dig into Potsy's life at 7 o'clock. We'll talk Bears with him, and we'll see what else he wants to chat about, whether it's he always likes talking Cubs or White Sox baseball and Bulls basketball. So we'll have some fun with Potsy coming up. We're gonna have some fun right now. As I was walking to the studios, I thought we got to look at some of the mock drafts that are out, and we need to make it a segment. And I said to myself, how about something like, are you mocking me?
Mocking you? No, I'm not mocking you, Judge.
Then explain that. Are you mocking me?
Mocking you? No, I'm not mocking.
Are you mocking me? Classic. Classic. That's the segment. It's happening right now. It's debuting.
Are you mocking me?
It's debuting on the clock. You're darn right I'm mocking you. I'm giving you mock drafts as we go through each week here on the clock. What we do now, and we give you an idea of where the Bears are in this edition of Are You Mocking Me? We are going, I have in front of me four different mock drafts. We're keeping it simple tonight. We are doing the top 10 of each of these different places, which I will discuss here in a second, which would, of course, give you the Bears at number 10. All right, you ready? We are going to start with The Athletic. The Athletic makes it into Are You Mocking Me? I'm just going to go through all the way to 10. We'll build a little bit of drama to get to 10 here. Number one, Tennessee from The Athletic. They go Cam Ward, quarterback out of Miami. Abdul Carter, the edge out of Penn State to Cleveland. Number three, the New York Giants, according to The Athletic. They like Shedeur Sanders, quarterback Colorado.
You mocking me?
Number four, the New England Patriots, Travis Hunter, the quarterback, wide receiver. He could do it all out of Colorado. Number five, Jacksonville, Armand Membo, tackle, Mizzou. Number six, the Las Vegas Raiders. It still seems weird to see LVR. Mason Graham, no! That's my guy. Defensive tackle out of Michigan. Seven, we're getting to the Bears. Bears are 10th. Jets, Tyler Warren, tight end, Penn State. Another, no, because I kind of like him. Mykel Williams is going to Carolina at number eight, the edge out of Georgia. At number nine, New Orleans, according to The Athletic, will go with Will Campbell, the offensive tackle out of LSU. We have now reached the spot for the Chicago Bears at number 10. Again, are you playing cuts of me, Sean? You're confusing people. Number 10, the Chicago Bears in The Athletic mock draft. Ashton Jeanty, running back, Boise State.
Are you mocking me?
There it is.
Mocking you? No, I'm not mocking.
I mean, that kind of fits, right? No, not mocking you. People are thinking about this. So we shall see. Okay, so that was The Athletic. Ashton Jeanty, running back, Boise State. Again, you guys know where I stand on Jeanty at this point. Don't think I would do it, but if they do it, I'll find a way to like it. CBS Sports Mock Draft. Tennessee, Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami. Cleveland, Abdul Carter, edge out of Penn State. Number three, Giants. They go with Armand Membo out of the tackle out of Mizzou. Number four, the Patriots. Travis Hunter, the wide receiver cornerback out of Colorado. Jacksonville. At number five, Will Campbell, the tackle out of LSU. All right, here you go. CBS Sports at number six is with the Raiders, is going Ashton Jeanty, running back, Boise State. So,
are you mocking me?
Man, it seems like that. Everybody saw how neat it was to have a world-class running back, a couple of them last year, revitalizing. I mean, everybody saw that. So everybody's like, oh, God, I want one of those. And that the only guy to, I think anyway, and there's others that have different opinions, I think the only one that could maybe be like those guys is Shedeur Sanders, or excuse Shedeur Sanders, Ashton Jeanty. Shedeur Sanders, though, on the CBS Sports Mock Draft, goes to the New York Jets at number seven. Will Johnson, the cornerback out of Michigan, to Carolina at number eight. Number nine, the New Orleans Saints, per CBS Sports. Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan. We have reached the Chicago Bears once again.
Bears.
At number 10. This is a name I've not seen a lot. The Bears go with Shamar Stewart, the defensive lineman out of Texas A&M.
Are you mocking me?
Sean, give us some numbers on this man.
Yeah, so he's a three-year player at A&M, a freshman, sophomore. This is his senior year, I guess, technically. It looks like he had a redshirt year. But in all three seasons, 1.5 sacks, but tackles for loss, 6 tackles for loss last season. So 31 total tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks here from the interior line.
And it never goes out of style to hear more defensive linemen being talked about and or drafted. Love Grady Jarrett. I'm looking forward to watching Dio Dangbo. I really am. Really am. Like, I hope that Montez Sweat is full health and can affect Dio Dangbo and vice versa between those two. And then Grady Jarrett, and if they were to draft another defensive lineman, and Jervon Dexter, well, I still don't know about it. He's no slouch or anything like that. Like, he'd be perfect. Like, that would, that's starting to look like, if that's the direction they were to go, like a pretty good rotation. So I could see maybe what CBS Sports is doing. All right, for the last two, for the sake of time and maybe even repetition with some of these mock drafts, let me just give you the Bears for these next two sources for the mock drafts before we talk more about Ashton Gentry with the Boise State play-by-play man, Bob Beeler. That's coming up here in moments on the clock. NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah at number 10 has the Bears taking offensive tackle Will Campbell. Got no issue with that. You'll find a place for Will Campbell on your offensive line. Guess what? Yahoo Sports, that's Nate Tice and Charles McDonald, Will Campbell, offensive tackle, LSU. So,
are you mocking me?
Pretty diverse group here that Sean Sears has stacked for us today on this particular edition of On the Clock. Nice job, Sean. Let's take our first break here on the show. Hit me up on the text line if you got a question or a comment here during On the Clock, 312-644-6767. But coming up next, we're talking about Ashton Gentry, the running back on the Score.
Is going to set up shop. Give to Gentry. Ashton Gentry breaks free. Gentry. Goal. 70 yards.
Wow. Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock featuring Mark Grody right here on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You want to know why we just talked about two mock drafts that had the Bears taking running back Ashton Gentry at number 10 overall? You want to know why? Because he had 374 carries this year, 2,601 yards, 29 TDs, a long of 77. That might have been it. A 7-yard average carrying the football. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And it's got people thinking about Ashton Gentry as one of those rare, but seemingly they seem to kind of drop through every couple of years, a top 10 type of running back. And our next guest knows a lot more about Ashton Gentry than I do, and probably most of our listeners. We are excited to have with us the Boise State play-by-play man. He is Bob Beeler, and he knows Ashton Gentry. Bob, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us on The Score and On the Clock.
How are you doing, Mark? All I can say is if you guys are fortunate enough to call that name at pick number 12, you will not be disappointed.
So he's worthwhile. And I have to discern, man. I got to discern, Bob, because you do the play-by-play for these teams, so I know how it goes. You're going to support the guys, but sell me that Ashton Gentry is a top 10 pick in the NFL, and as you said, it would not be a mistake for them to do that.
Well, I think first of all, you have to decide what your needs are, and if you think you need a running back at that high, then you know, if you're not interested in, you know, spending on a running back, if you think you have the needs, then maybe you wouldn't take him at number 10. But Doug Martin, who was taken in the first round by Tampa maybe 8-9 years ago, kind of years run together for me, maybe 10 years ago by now, Ashton's better. Ashton's a better player, and Doug had some good years with Tampa Bay and then later with the Raiders. He's tough to bring down, great balance, great acceleration, hits holes, tough. I mean, I learned very quickly that you better not give up on a play because he's going to be finding a way to leak out the backside if you don't wrap things up. So strong. He had a really good year as a sophomore and then had an even better year as a junior. Again, he's only played in college for 3 years. He's coming out a year early. So, and somebody that I think you'd like in your locker room as well. So he checks all the boxes for a running back. And if you guys are fortunate enough to get him, as I say, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
The last time Bob, that there was a running back that was, as I think, unless I'm missing, misremembering myself, a draft was Saquon Barkley. When Saquon Barkley came out of Penn State and obviously ended up with the New York Giants, he was the surest running back in a long time, a slam dunk. Is Ashton Jeanty in the same ballpark as Saquon Barkley?
Well, I really didn't see Saquon in college. I've seen Saquon play a lot for the Eagles this past year, and I don't think they win the Super Bowl without him. So I think that, you know, maybe he has some of the same qualities as far as, you know, how he hits the hole and work ethic and all of that. I think Barkley maybe has given teams in the NFL, which is such a copycat league, you know, cause to look at running backs maybe a little bit differently, because the Giants did take him as a pretty high pick, and then the Eagles spent big money getting him as a free agent. So I think maybe the running back is making its return to grandeur after what Barkley did this past year.
Yeah, and Travis Henry to a lesser degree. I mean, it really, like, teams look at this and say, it's still pretty awesome, Bob, when teams can win because of the run. Like, I'm all for the open it up and go crazy offenses that exist in the NFL, and you've seen plenty of those at the college level. But if you could give me a running back that can win me games, that preserves everybody because it keeps the quarterback happy. I've never spoken to an offensive lineman that didn't love run blocking and running games.
Well, and if you're ahead, it helps you run the clock out. You know, there are these, you know, there's third and short, you know, you got to make them. I mean, you know, sometimes throwing, you're not, you know, they knock it down or somebody drops the pass, or, you know, you look at these short yardage plays with the, you know, quarterback sneak where they're basically, it's a rugby scrum where they pick up 2 or 3 yards on the rugby scrum up the middle from the quarterback to tush push.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if I were the Bears and you want him, I'd be worried the Raiders might take him at 6.
Yeah, I just had a, let me see here. I have one of the mock drafts had him going to, oh, here he is. Did you just say the Raiders? Because, yeah, numbers, yeah, Yahoo Sports, yeah. We did 4 that I thought were pretty representative. One of them had the Bears taking him at 10, but, yeah, I mean, that seems like, man, that is, they need something with the Raiders, obviously, but that, I don't know, man. I'm struggling. I'm struggling with a running back at 6, but you're not struggling at all. Let me ask you this about Jeanty. Like, what's the, because you went through a lot of the things that he does well. Obviously, he's hard to take down, and maybe that's the answer. But what's the biggest thing about Jeanty? If people don't know about him, is it the speed? Is it the power? Like, if there's one trait about him that makes him the running back that he is, what is it in the case of Ashton Jeanty?
I would think maybe it's his ability to make people miss him, or he'll run through them. I think it's the ability to get some long runs. I mean, he had, you know, 10 50-plus touchdown runs on the season, 8 that went for more than 60 yards. I mean, obviously some of the ones over 50 were also over 60, and then he had 5 of them that went for more than 70 yards. He probably don't have the, you know, the breakaway stuff against the NFL people as much as you would with some of these college teams. But I don't know. It just seems like when he puts his mind to something, he's going to do it. I remember last year at Media Day, he was talking about 2,000 yards. And the year before, he was under 2,000 yards, all purpose. He had about, you know, 1,500 rushing and about 500 receiving.
Yeah.
And so I say to him, as he's talking about 2,000 yards, I said, you're talking all-purpose? And he shook me off, and he says, no, I'm talking rushing. And I'll tell you, that day I thought, wow, that's a pretty big goal if you think you're going to rush for 2,000 yards. I mean, the number of people who have done that over the years is, you know, 2,000, you know, in a college season that, you know, I mean, Boise State played 14 games, but sometimes you might only get 12.
Yeah, that's still a big deal. Like 2,000, as much as things have changed, that's for running backs, that's still a big damn deal.
Yeah, works hard. You know, I mean, you never know. Sometimes you go to a certain team and maybe somebody will get more out of you than another team. You know, one of our guys at the office today was talking about, you know, if the Bears were to take him, that there would be a reminiscent draft of the way the Cowboys started under Jerry Jones when they got, you know, the three core offensive, you know, playmakers. They got Irvin, they got Aikman, and then they Emmitt Smith, the running back, was their third pick. Well, you got Williams and you got Adunze as a receiver. You know, is this the third piece to the offensive triplet form, you know? So, and obviously it worked out pretty well for Dallas. And you know, your coach, Johnson, the Lions picked a first running back. I want to say Gibbs went, what, 13th, 14th, somewhere in there?
Yeah, yep, with the Lions.
Which is a pretty high pick. And, you know, it seems like he's done pretty well for Detroit. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the draft brings. But, you know, I think the one thing that was different offensive coordinator last year is the year before. Dirk Cutter, who was a head coach in the NFL, was the offensive coordinator last year and then retired for the second time.
Okay.
He didn't throw the ball out of the backfield to Genty on a screen. And he said he didn't think our line was, you know, athletic enough to be really good at screen passes, but we're really good run blockers. So, you know, a good coach finds a way to make the best out of his talent. But the year before, he probably had, you know, he had 500 yards receiving the year before. They were just trying to find ways to get him the ball. He was not the whole time feature back. George Alani, who's with the Seahawks now, I think he was undrafted by the Seahawks, but signed as a free agent last year.
When he's running
off on the practice squad, I'm sorry, Bob.
When Ashton, because you just touched on a really interesting part of Ashton Genty, the potential receiving impact. Because obviously, if we're talking about Jahmyr Gibbs, if they really think that that's the type that he is, then you're going to want him to make plays every single way. So if I could just draw on your eyes watching the game, when you watched Ashton Genty, even if the numbers are not eye popping, did he look steady and fluid as a wide receiver? You can tell when a running back is comfortable.
As a wide receiver, they never flanked him out.
Okay, but just at catching the football. I mean, like, just screen passes.
He only caught 20 passes, so they don't stick out to me. The year before,
I got you.
He had a lot of catches out of the backfield.
Okay.
I mean,
and did he look comfortable
then? He had over 800 yards receiving, but the lion's share of that were in the first two seasons, not the last season.
Okay,
so he was by far used more as a receiver as a sophomore than a junior.
Okay, and when they did use him, did it look comfortable? Like, I'm trying to figure out if
they didn't throw it to him that often.
Right.
I'd say, sure. I mean, you know, you get him out there, and if you get blockers in front of you, you could probably do something with that. But, I mean, I think at least me watching the games, I want to get him the ball with as little that can go wrong. And if you're trying
point.
To throw the ball at somebody out in the flat,
you're
counting on the quarterback making the throw and the guy being in the right spot, where if I turn around and hand him or toss him the ball, I mean, he's got the ball with, you know, a head of steam coming up.
That's hilarious. Like, why bother? Right. That's a great point, Bob. That's a great point. Why bother when you could just hand the ball to him and he will take the ball at least 7 yards, right?
Yeah. More times than not.
That's the average. Okay, that's a pretty good screenshot on Ashton Genty. If I might, Bob, I want to ask you about a few other players on the team,
sure.
And we'll get back into the offense, but I know that there are some notable Mountain West prospects, and there are some prospects other than Genty from Boise State. If you could talk to us, you know, one of the guys I'd love to know about is the defensive lineman, Ahmed Hassanini. Tell us about him.
Hassanine,
okay. Okay, all right, I got bad information.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bob. Yeah. I appreciate the correction, though, because I am a stickler, man. People got to get these names right.
Yeah, he's a player that had very little experience when he moved from Cairo, Egypt to Southern California.
Wow.
His half-brother was a high school coach in Southern California, and he always wanted to play football, watching it over in Egypt, and decided to come over and live with his half-brother. And he played high school football for, I think it was either 2 or 3 years, and then was recruited at Boise State very raw when he came here as a freshman. Very smart, very strong. You know, I don't know whether he's big enough at 6'3", 271 to play in the defensive line in the pros, but I think the motor is there. I think the effort is obviously there too. And, you know, he's a guy that probably still hasn't seen the best, if he's able to keep playing the best of his, you know, abilities, just because he hasn't played since he was like six or something like that. But much like Genty, also one of my favorite people to deal with, always has a smile on his face, enjoys playing. I think maybe he enjoys playing football more than anybody that I've run into playing on teams in a long, long time.
That's pretty cool. Ahmed Hassanine, defensive lineman, Boise State. A couple of guys that you went up against in the Mountain West, some wide receivers, and maybe people haven't heard as much about Jalen Royals, the wide receiver out of Utah State. What was he like going up against?
He was good, and their team wasn't overly great, but, I mean, he was probably the bulk of their offense at Utah State. He had a lot of explosiveness. I think like if you know, we played Adunze when he was at Washington. Royals a couple of years at Utah State. I think Adunze, for me, might have been a little better at, you know, catching it and more volume catches. Royals, I thought, had a lot of speed. I mean, they ran him on a lot of deep stuff. I thought he was pretty good. I don't think he's first-round good, but he's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's why maybe people didn't know about him. Now you got me back thinking about I really appreciate, Bob, the fact that you got a pretty good eye on what's going on with the Bears. And when you brought up the idea of the triumvirate with Ashton Genty, the way the Cowboys did it years ago. So I do appreciate that. But you mentioned, obviously, your experience with Rome Odunze and having called games in which Boise State was going up against him. You still think that guy's going to be, or do you think he can be a star at the NFL level?
I think he's pretty good. I mean, they skunked us when we went over there, and a lot of it was the receivers for Washington that we had an awful lot of trouble covering and tackling. So that was not last year. That was the year before. He looked pretty good to me. I mean, I'm not somebody that watches a lot of, you know, NFL games like in person. So, you know, how he would translate, I'm not sure, but he looked pretty good to me. So I think that, you know, you got to give somebody a chance to, you know, to finish up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One other guy I want to ask you about is Ketan Crawford, safety out of Nevada. He's down here as one of the notable Mountain West prospects. What could you tell us about him?
I don't even remember him.
You don't?
No.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Okay.
All right. I mean, that's a name that, I mean, that may be on me.
That's okay.
If he did, he didn't leave anything on the table to remember.
Okay. What about Nick Nash, wide receiver, San Jose State?
Love him.
There we go. Woo! Oh my God. Whew. Okay. Tell us more.
He was on a team that was, you know, kind of middle of the pack, but he was explosive. Former quarterback. Was a backup quarterback that played some early in his career, and somebody got the bright idea to switch him to receiver, whoever that was. He should probably give him a little finder's fee for switching his position, because he wouldn't have made the pros as a quarterback. But he was really good for San Jose State,
yeah.
And he also was tall. I like Nash.
Yeah, the tall never goes out of style for wide receivers.
I had a basketball coach one time that said you can't coach size.
That's true. You cannot coach size. It is always there until you're like 80, right? And then we start to lose size as a human species. But that's the way it works. Bob, this has been great, man. I appreciate you coming on, shedding a lot of light. Because people, like, I think Ashton Genty is the gambling favorite for the Bears, and that's just because Chicago goes crazy. So it, like, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Well, what other names are they banting about at 10?
Well, I mean, there's a few that the Will Campbell, the offensive tackle out of LSU, is one of those.
Okay.
Being realistic, because I'd like to sit here and tell you that, you know, somebody like Mason Graham would be available for the Bears, but Shamar Stewart, the defensive lineman out of Texas A&M, and actually Mason Graham has made his way to 9 in a couple of the legitimate mock drafts, or at least ones that I deem to be legitimate mock drafts, people that I trust. So that's a direction as well. But here's the thing, man. It's like the Bears so far, as you know, went out and got the three offensive linemen. They now, you know, are feeling a lot better about their team, which opens some things up for them in the draft. Also, having brought in Grady Jarrett and Dio Odangbo on their defense, that's what opens it up. That's why it's actually not crazy to consider drafting a running back if you are the Bears.
Well, I mean, you know, how many people have drafted quarterbacks in the top half of the first round that are busts?
That's the truth.
I think it's like the desert. You're looking for water, and if you don't have a quarterback, you want to see one because you want one so badly. I think quarterbacks get taken usually about 5 to 10 spots higher than they probably should.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that is the way of the NFL. I mean, the two most important positions right now, quarterback and edge rusher, those who can sack the quarterback. Bob, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. Definitely would love to talk to you sometime down the road, but good luck to Boise State and Ashton Gentry and everybody that you've gotten to call games for, my friend.
Well, we've had a lot of good ones and a lot of good wins since I've been here. So it was a great year last year getting the college football playoff. Hopefully we can repeat.
All right, Bob. Good luck to you, man. We'll talk to you soon. That was Bob Beeler, the Boise State play-by-play man. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed Bob Beeler. I had not talked to him before, but he was enjoyable. We really got cooking there, I felt like, towards the end. So that was some good stuff, some good info. We knew he was going to believe in Ashton Gentry. The receiver stuff intrigues me and scares me at the same time. Ideally, I would like to have known that he had had more experience catching the football, but made perfect sense. Why do you need to throw the football to him? I'd like to see. This is one of those where let's see when Ben Johnson gets his hands on him, if that was to occur. We're acting like it's happened when it hasn't. But we shall see. We got to take our final break here on the Clock. I'm Mark Grody on the Score.
Let's get back to more Bears Draft Talk with On the Clock, featuring Mark Grody, right here on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, I'm here for a little while longer as the host of On the Clock here on The Score, and then I will be hosting a Mark Grody show starting at 7 o'clock, featuring Mark Potash, right out of the gates. At 7, talking to Potsy. Yeah, we'll talk to him about the Bears and his buyout and what's to come and what might be around the corner, what might not be around the quarter. So we'll talk to Potsy coming up at the top of the hour. I have a feeling we're just going to be talking a lot of Bears with him, and which is A-okay with me. Had a texter. I invited you guys to text along here on the show. 312-644-6767. Hey, Grody, what do you think if he turns out like Mark Colombo? He's talking about Tevin Jenkins, who has a deal done with Cleveland, so he's officially an ex-Bear. That's interesting. Mark Colombo, a former, was he first or second round? Highly touted former offensive lineman for the Bears.
I'll say he was a second-round pick.
Second-round pick. Off the top of my head, and I'm scurrying right now on Football Reference, off the top of my head, I think that he was much less available than Tevin Jenkins was. Here it is. Here are the availability numbers. Mark Colombo, 2021 with the Bears, played in 6 games. Well, hold on a second. Tevin Jenkins in 2021 played in 6. Okay, we'll do Tevin first. Tevin, 2021, played 6 games. In 2022, he played 13. 2023, Tevin Jenkins played 12 games. And last year, believe it or not, he played in 14 games. So over 4 years, that is 45 games for Tevin Jenkins. I now have Mark Colombo's career up here as well. His games as well. He was a Bear in 2002, in which he played in 10 games. Here it is. Here it is. And then we'll stop this nonsense. He played in 10 games his rookie year with the Bears. He missed all of 2003. That's what I was thinking
about. He only played in 9 more games after that rookie season.
That's it. 9 more games.
And so, he was a first-round pick, 29th overall.
Yep. And my gut, I'm happy I remember these things. I remember him just not being available. Just not. We were all very excited when they drafted him. Same, we were excited when they drafted Gabe Kareemi. Same Gabe when they drafted Chris Williams.
Chris Williams.
All these guys. It's hard to find good offensive linemen. That's the lesson learned. As much as you want to blame the Bears,
I mean, they even tried to grab veterans, too, like Orlando Pace, Jason Peters. Yeah, oh, my gosh.
And if you want to go way back in the way back machine.
Take me there, man.
There was a guy named Stan Thomas who the Bears drafted in the first round on Ditka's watch. And I don't think Ditka liked them. So I don't think he wanted them. And so they put him in, and he was horrid.
I was there.
So be careful what you wish for when you put him in. I think there was there were similar feelings between Dick Geron and Cade McNown, a former first round pick of the Chicago Bears. Dick wanted nothing to do with Cade McNown, but so he put him in and said, "Okay." This is what you wanted, and it turned out to be an absolute nightmare. So, in other words, while I see where you're coming from with the comp to Tevin Jenkins actually was a lot more available than we give him credit for, but he just probably not enough and not near the ballpark of Mark Colombo. 815, I want Will Campbell if he's off the board. I want the three tech from Michigan. If they aren't there, I want Tyler Warren. By the way, Tyler Warren is the tight end out of Penn State. So, okay. And I assume you're talking about Mason Graham out of Michigan as well. Those are all good names.
You'd be okay with both of those. You and Mike Golick were kind of crushing over Tyler Warren, though.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. He kind of put me over the top a little bit about him, and I have not released a mock draft yet. But, I mean, I put a tight end in there last year for the Bears in the first round. Don't think I won't do it again. I might just do it again. Thanks to everybody for listening to On the Clock this week. We especially appreciate Bob Beeler for coming on. Our guest out of Boise State to talk about Ashton Jeanty. When we come back, Mark Potash sometimes. Bye.
Are you mocking me?